Hello and welcome to another edition of the Cemetery Podcast. In this episode, we are going to be hitting some baseball. That's right, we're going to be traveling around the country to discuss the graves and locations and situations of several of baseball's famous graves. We're going to be heading to Chicago, Georgia. We're going to be going to Ohio for a cemetery that is the next door neighbor to a ballpark. We're also going to head there to visit one of the greatest pitchers of all time. We're also heading to St. Louis. We're going to Louisville to discuss the slugger. And we're going to finish it up in the home of professional baseball, my hometown, Cincinnati, Ohio. All that and still more on this week's edition of the Cemetery Podcast.
Be sure to check out the Cemetery Podcast website at thefuneralsource.org/cemetery-podcast.
Take me out to the ball game.
All right, everybody. Welcome to this week's show. This show will be focusing all on baseball since opening day will be tomorrow. I have to apologize to everybody who was anticipating the Tuesday show. You might even hear it in my voice. I had a long weekend. I was on the road traveling, and when I got home, I didn't have much of a voice left. And I literally, if I would have recorded yesterday, I would have sounded like this, and that wouldn't have been very fun for you guys. So anyway, I decided to rest my voice for the day, and I'm getting this show out. And it's even better because it's the day before opening day. Now, I will tell you from a necrotourism point of view, we are going to visit a variety of graves, tell you about some of the baseball greats that we visited and some that you should visit. I'm also going to tell you a tale about one of the locations we visited, one of the greatest baseball players of all time. We have all kinds of memorials and stories and things we're going to share with you. Pretty excited about this show. Also, I'd like to let everybody know, just for point of information, that this weekend I was in Nashville during the historic flooding, and we have some really great and interesting stuff from the cemeteries down there. So that's probably going to be discussed next week's show because of the nature of the catastrophic damage and flooding that happened down there. More about that next week. This week it's all about baseball. And why is it baseball important? Because let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I live in Cincinnati. Cincinnati is the home of professional baseball. The Reds may not be the greatest team, but the Reds are the greatest team. And we are going to be, like I said, discussing a lot of things. I am going to get to an email question because this one is directly relevant to my hometown. Somebody, Liz Moulton from Kansas City, emailed me. And she said, I plan on coming to Cincinnati in May to go to the Spring Grove Cemetery. How much time should I allow for such a large cemetery? And which graves are on the must-visit list? I don't know. I have to say, since Spring Grove is one of the largest cemeteries in the country, it is, I believe, actually, the third largest, and I believe the second largest in land, 700-plus acres. It is huge. I've been there over 30 times, and I still discover new things, Liz. So how many days should you allow? No, I would seriously, if you plan to go as just a casual visitor, all day. There are tons of things to see. The grounds are beautiful. Lakes, parks, mausoleum sections, you name it. And the grounds, it's not only a cemetery, it's also a world-renowned arboretum. So there are at least a day. I'm just telling you that. Some of the things you must see is the mausoleum rows that are down around front with like Jacob Burnett, several of the people like the Dexters. The Dexter mausoleum is the off the charts thing that must be seen by everybody. You know, the mausoleum that's known as Dracula's Castle. It's legendary. Their statues, Chunky needs to be seen. Yeah, well, we're going to have to do a show about Spring Grove in the future. to talk more about the specific graves and historical people that are there. But it is tremendous. I'm actually happy that it's in my backyard, that I literally live about 12 minutes away from Spring Grove, so I can head down there whenever I like. I discover always something new, amazing artwork, and all you need to do is really get a map from them. Spring Grove has a map that tells you, like, the highlights, and it's just endless, endless amounts of famous people. I would highly encourage you to spend at least a day. If you can afford to, it's worth it. All right, that's your question, Liz. Hope that answered that for you. I am very much looking forward to this show. We have a lot of information to get out to you. As I said, I do live in Cincinnati, Ohio, home of the Reds, and opening day is a holiday in our town. May not be in your town, but it's just a holiday in Cincinnati. Normally, we have the opening day parade, but thanks to COVID, it was canceled last year in 2020. It's canceled again this year in 2021. And fortunately, because we just got our weather forecast, it's going to be 35 degrees tomorrow for opening day. I don't think anybody that was going to go to the parade is going to miss it this year. We'll all be sitting at home again. So it's looking to be an interesting season. I don't know if the Reds look to be winners, but we can always cross our fingers. What does that have to do with this show? I don't necessarily know. More things are coming your way. More baseball information. More necrotourism baseball travel info. And another tale that involves one of the greatest baseball people of all time. All that and more. Stick around and enjoy this episode of the Cemetery Podcast.
If you would like to get your email answered, then be sure to send that to the Necrotourist at thefuneralsource.org. It's time to announce the starting lineup for the Cemetery Podcast All-Star Graveyard Team. We start out today's game with the owner, William Hobert.
The feature owner in today's Cemetery Podcast baseball show is going to be William H. Hobert. He was born in 1832, and he is a Hall of Fame Major League Baseball executive. He is a major stockholder in the Chicago White Stockings in 1870, and its president in 1875. In 1876, he organized the National League with 8 teams. His famous baseball-shaped monument, provided by the league, is in the form of a white granite baseball inscribed with his name, title, and the teams of the National League in 1882. He died in 1882, and he is buried at the Graceland Cemetery in Chicago, Illinois.
Play ball!
All right, ladies and gentlemen, right now we're going to be doing this week's feature cemetery. Now, this is an interesting cemetery. One of the reasons it's interesting, because when I first went to downtown Cleveland with my friend Senior Bull, who's originally from Cleveland, or at least in the area of Cleveland, he showed me the downtown area, and we went down to the new ballpark where the Cleveland Indians play, which is Jacobs Field, which many people know as the Jake. And while we were going around on the perimeter, we encountered the Erie Street Cemetery, which is an old cemetery in Cleveland. Very interesting place. The cemetery is actually Cleveland's first permanent cemetery. It was established in 1826. It's just shy of 9 acres, and it has over 17,000 burials. The history of it is actually Cleveland Village bought the land for $1 from Leonard Case. And this cemetery itself, it contains the remains of many a town leaders, pioneers, veterans from the Revolution, as well as the Spanish-American War. There are several early mayors, as well as a lieutenant governor. But actually, you know, many of the famous burials were moved out of that area once Cleveland began to spread. But Erie Street has managed to stay in that location, despite there has been efforts in the past to try to get it out of the region. It's probably one of the most sought after and expensive pieces of property that the dead have, certainly in Ohio. But one of the interesting things about most of the people being moved, a person who was actually done in reverse is one of the oldest residents there, which is David Eldridge. He drowned while he was surveying the area of Cleveland in 1797. He is known to be the oldest remains of a person to die in the Western Reserve. And he was the first European or white person. He is like the oldest white settler in the area. Originally, he was buried in the Ontario Cemetery, but they moved him to Erie Street in the early 1800s. And just for those who are interested, Ontario Street Cemetery is no longer there. It's currently under a parking lot and a restaurant. However, one of the reasons why Erie Street is important in our baseball show is because of the Cleveland Indians. There are several Native American burials in the location, and one of them being Chief Thunderwater, also known as Aghema Niagara. He was born in 1865 and he died in 1950. He was actually a Cleveland celebrity. He used to travel around with Buffalo Bill's Wild West show, and he actually worked to help, you know, keep the people's rights and heritage of the Native Americans while things were improving between the relations of Native Americans and white Americans. Actually, some of the locals actually called him, quote, the official Cleveland Indian. And he happens to be buried next to Jockasot. Now, Jockasot is another famous Cleveland Native American who is buried there. Jockasot was also known as Walking Bear. He was born, they believe, in 1810. He died in September of 1844. He is a member of the Meskwaki tribe. He actually fought in the Black Hawk War, in which he was wounded. Later, he joined a theatrical company, and his depictions of Native American life made him very popular worldwide. He was on his way home from a Goodwill tour when he fell seriously ill and ended up dying in Cleveland. His friends took care of the funeral and his burial at Erie Street, which was meant not only as a sign of respect for Jockasot, but also for all Native Americans. He was made chief of the Sauk tribe after his death. Now, his body was stolen in 1882, and actually city records can confirm this, but, you know, body snatching was a common thing during that time. You know, his tombstone was broken. Some people say it happened with lightning. Others say that it was his spirit that he was unhappy for not being able to make it back home to his homeland of Minnesota. They actually repaired the stone, and in 1884, it was broken again. Then vandals damaged it in 1907. Niagara's granddaughter proclaimed that a terrible disaster would afflict Cleveland if Jockasot's burial place would be further disturbed. Jockasot's supposed ghost has been held responsible by those that are, you know, overly superstitious to all the losses that the Cleveland Indians have occurred and endured over the years. So quite often, if the Indians are not doing well, people will leave trinkets and commemorations to remember who might be the real Cleveland Indian. But if you're in downtown Cleveland, take the time to visit this necrotourism gem right next door to the Jake, which is none other than the Erie Street Cemetery.
And next to the plate, batting for Louisville and playing the outfield, it's the Louisville slugger himself, Louis Pete Browning.
Louis Pete Browning, born in 1861, who was an outfielder who played for the Louisville Colonels. He had two nicknames. One was the Gladiator, but one most of us are familiar with, the Louisville Slugger. He is the first player to have custom bats made for him by the Hillerich and Bratsby Company of Louisville, later to become the Louisville Slugger Company. His batting average remains one of the top five of all time. He is regarded one of the top 10 ball players who is not in the Hall of Fame. His marker at Cave Hill Cemetery was replaced in 1984 to reflect the correct dates and career highlights. This was part of a larger celebration of the centennial of the Louisville Slugger bat that is named in his honor. He died in September of 1905, and as mentioned, he is buried at the Cave Hill Cemetery in Louisville, Kentucky, in Jefferson County.
Hey, no hit, can't hit it.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, right now, I'm going to tell you kind of an interesting twist on how this is going in our baseball show, but I am going to tell you about Chief Pontiac. And when I get done telling you about Chief Pontiac, you'll understand why this is a baseball story. Chief Pontiac was actually born in approximately 1720. He was the chief of the Ottawa tribe. Now, a little background on him. After the French lost the French-British conflict and relinquished their forts to the English, Pontiac organized the tribes from Canada to the Gulf of Mexico to fight against the British in the lake in the Great Lakes area. It was actually known as the Pontiac Rebellion. It was waged from 1763 till 1766. Now, after his siege on Fort Detroit in 1763, he actually signed a peace treaty in 1776 with the British. Now, actually signing this peace treaty wasn't really welcomed by the other tribes at all. You know, they had actually won back their lands by fighting against the British, so he was exiled from his village and the tribe. He returned to Illinois County. Pontiac was then murdered on April 20th, 1769, at the French village of Cahokia, which is just about opposite of St. Louis. As a matter of fact, we've been there. He was murdered by a Peorian Indian. Now, it is reported that they took his body to the outskirts of the village of St. Louis and buried him in an Indian tradition. However, Chief Pontiac, a name that we know in the American lexicon as a car brand and a stadium, a powerful name, Chief Pontiac, he is now buried in downtown St. Louis. And there is a plaque that marks his grave at the corner of Broadway and Walnut, which is now a parking garage for the St. Louis Cardinals.
Next up at first base for the Chicago Cubs, it's Ernie Banks.
Ernie Banks, born in 1931, he is a Hall of Famer and a prominent Major League Baseball player. He played from 1953 to 1971. He was an infielder who played second base and shortstop for the Chicago Cubs, and he was often referred to as Mr. Cub. Banks was the Cubs' first African-American player and one of the first Negro League players to join Major League Baseball without first playing in the minor leagues. He is regarded as one of the greatest Cubs players of all time. He passed away in 2015, and he is buried at the Graceland Cemetery in Chicago, right around the corner from former Cubs owner William Hulbert. His personalized marker that gathers momentums from fans was actually paid for by the Chicago Cubs. Be sure to add legendary Hall of Famer Ernie Banks to your Necrotourism hit list.
Just look at those boys out there loving the great game of baseball like we did when we were kids.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, this week's featured memorial is the Cy Young Memorial. It's actually located in Newcomerstown, Ohio, in Tuscarawas County. Tuscarawas County. I always have a problem with that. Maybe I'm saying it right, maybe I'm not. However, the park itself was dedicated in May of 1950. It is actually dedicated to Denton True Cy Young. And Young was considered baseball's most successful pitcher. He had 511 wins in 873 games over 22 seasons. Most innings pitched, 7,356. He had 76 shutouts. That is fourth on the list. Now, this memorial is located on the grounds of the Cy Young Park. It is actually right there by the baseball field where they actually have old-time baseball games several times a year in commemoration of Cy Young. Now, actually, when the park itself was dedicated, there was around 10,000 people that attended the ceremony. And Lefty Gomez, who was actually a former Yankee southpaw, as well as Hank Gowdy, were some of the people that were there, as well as Cy Young himself, who was 83 years old at the time. The memorial itself was dedicated on the centennial of Cy Young's birth, which was 1967. Now, the memorial is designed to resemble a baseball diamond, with Cy's memorial at the pitcher's mound. And actually etched on the memorial, it says, "In his youth, on a nearby farm, Cy played baseball for the love of the game, a quality that remained with him throughout his life." Now, if you plan to visit Cy Young's grave, then be sure you make a stop at the Cy Young Memorial in New Comerstown, Ohio.
It's a great day for baseball here in Cincinnati.
And next up to the plate, playing first base for the Cincinnati Reds, it's the Clue himself, Ted Kozlowski.
Ted Kozlowski, born in 1924. He was a first baseman who joined the major leagues in 1947, and he had a 15-year playing career, which mostly was spent with my hometown, Cincinnati Reds. When he retired, the Reds retired his number 18 in 1962, and he actually came back to coach the Big Red Machine in 1974 and 1975. He was inducted into the Reds Hall of Fame in 1982. Clue died in 1988, and he is buried in the Gates of Heaven Cemetery in Cincinnati, Ohio. Hello, boys and girls. Since today's show is associated with baseball, and it can be found on many of walls in ballparks, today's cemetery symbol is ivy. In the Middle Ages, ivy represented the female. Druids believed that it represented peace. However, the Victorians associated the evergreen plant with eternity, fidelity, remembrance, and a strong affection, as in wedded love and or friendship. Ivy expresses fidelity, friendship, and immortality.
Next up for the Cemetery Podcast All-Stars, playing shortstop, it's the legendary Harold Pee Wee Reese.
Harold Pee Wee Reese, born in 1918. He got his nickname not because of his size, but because his dexterity for shooting marbles. He was a shortstop for the Brooklyn and the Los Angeles Dodgers from 1940 to 1958. He also served 3 years in the Navy in World War II, and he returned in 1946 to the Dodgers, who had just signed Jackie Robinson. Also, during a game in Cincinnati when Robinson was being heckled relentlessly, Reese walked over to him and put his arm around him, smoothing Robinson's way into baseball's history. Reese was inducted into the Hall of Fame in 1984. He died in 1999, and he is buried at the Rest Haven Memorial Cemetery in Louisville, Kentucky.
Hey, Necro Travelers, are you aware that the Necro Tourist does private tours at cemeteries around the Cincinnati area? Not only Cincinnati, but we do tours at cemeteries all around the Midwest to include Indianapolis, Columbus, Louisville, Lexington, and more. Be sure to visit our website, or you can find us on TripAdvisor. Cemetery tours at the Wesleyan Cemetery and other cemeteries in Cincinnati. You can learn some history, and you can have yourself a good time on a cemetery tour with the Necro Tourist.
And next up for the St. Louis Cardinals, playing first base and outfield, it's Stan the Man Musial.
Stan the Man Musial, born in 1920, played outfield and first base for the St. Louis Cardinals, where he had 22 successful seasons in the majors. despite the fact he took 2 years off to serve in World War II. Stan the Man is buried in a nice tomb at the Belle Reve Heritage Garden Cemetery near St. Louis, Missouri, where Lou Brock can also be found in the mausoleum, and you can find Chuck Berry as a bonus. Be sure to add Stan the Man to your necrotourism hit list. Ladies and gentlemen, today's famous grave is going to be none other than the legendary Ty Cobb. Tyrus R. Cobb. He was born on December 18, 1886 in Narrows, Georgia. He was nicknamed the Georgia Peach. He was a baseball outfielder, and he played for the Detroit Tigers and joined them in 1905. He started his first game just 3 weeks after his mother had shot his father to death. He also enlisted in the Army in 1918 and served 67 days in Europe before being honorably discharged. You know, when he played for Detroit, he was there for 22 years. And the last six, he did so as a player manager. Ty Cobb is widely credited with setting 90 Major League Baseball records during his career. He finished his career in 1928 playing for the Philadelphia Athletics. When he went into the Hall of Fame in the inaugural class in 1936, he received 222 out of a possible 226 votes. Now, wisely, he invested in companies like Coca-Cola and GM in the early days, and eventually he set up a scholarship with the proceeds of his 20,000 shares of the Coca-Cola stock. Ty Cobb died July 17, 1961, and he is buried in the Cobb family mausoleum that is located in the Rose Hill Cemetery in Royston, Georgia. In 2020, Senior Bull and I headed down there while we were on our trip to Atlanta. So, especially if you're in that region, it's a good sidetrack trip for an afternoon drive. But be sure you add one of baseball's greatest, Ty Cobb, to your Necro Travelers checklist.
Next up, and playing outfield for the St. Louis Cardinals, it's Hall of Famer Lou Brock.
Lou Brock, born in 1939, played outfield, mostly left field, for the St. Louis Cardinals, where he was traded to in 1964. There, he had a 19-year career, breaking and setting many records. He surpassed Ty Cobb's career record with 938 stolen bases. He was so synonymously known with base stealing that in 1978, he became the first major leaguer to have an award named for him while he was actually still active, the Lou Brock Award for National League Leaders in Steals. The Cardinals retired his uniform number, which was 20, and he was inducted into the Hall of Fame in 1985. Brock died on September 6th, 2020, and he is buried in the mausoleum at the Belle Reve Heritage Garden Cemetery near St. Louis, Missouri.
Take me out to the ball game.
Next up, from the New York Yankees playing the outfield, it's Jolton Joe DiMaggio.
Joe DiMaggio, born in 1914. He is a Hall of Fame outfielder who played for the New York Yankees, and he signed with them in 1935. He made his major league debut as a center fielder in 1936, actually batting ahead of Lou Gehrig. DiMaggio went on to a 13-year career, leading the Yankees to 10 pennants, 9 world championships, and recorded a 56-game hitting streak that many consider to be safe even today. He was elected to the Baseball Hall of Fame in 1955, and the Yankees retired his iconic number 5. Later on in life, he became known as the salesman for Mr. Coffee, Many of you may remember him as that, Jolton Joe. He died in 1999, and he is buried at the Holy Cross Catholic Cemetery in Colma, California. Be sure to add Joe to your Necrotourism baseball hit list.
Welcome to the Ordinary Extraordinary Cemetery Podcast.
Join us each week as we explore old cemeteries and the stories of the people buried in them.
It's history, it's spooky, it's good old-fashioned undead fun for the whole family. Find us wherever you listen to podcasts.
Steve Wright!
And taking the mound for today's game is legendary pitcher for the Cincinnati Reds, Joe Nuxall.
Joe Nuxall, who was born in 1928, made his major league debut in 1944 with the Cincinnati Reds, where he remained till 1966. He was a left-handed pitcher, and he was pitching for the Reds when he was 15 years old. He was a full-time broadcaster for the Cincinnati Reds from 1967 until 2004. And until 2007, he still broadcast part-time until his death. He did die in 2007, and he is buried in the outdoor mausoleum at the Rose Hill Burial Park in Hamilton, Ohio. Be sure to add Joe Nuxall, the old left-hander, to your Necrotourism hit list.
And in honorable mention, one of the greatest second basemen in the history of Major League Baseball for the Cincinnati Reds, it's Joe Morgan.
Joe Morgan, Little Joe, the second baseman of the Cincinnati Reds in the Big Red Machine that won back-to-back world championships in the mid-70s here in Cincinnati. Little Joe recently died, and the Reds will be paying homage to him with a black number 8 on their jerseys throughout the year. We do not know the location of Joe Morgan's burial location. Those details are unavailable at this time, but his mother is buried in Danville, California, and that is where we suspect that he will be laid to rest. Salute to you, Joe Morgan, a personal hero of mine.
Three cheers for the Red Stockings of Cincinnati! Hip hip!
Huzzah!
Hip hip!
Huzzah!
All right, welcome back to the what will be the final segment of today's show, which is the tale from the tribal logs of the Necrotourist. And this week, to continue along with our baseball theme, we are going to go back to a trip that we took in June of 2019. This is a trip that we refer to as 9 counties in 36 hours. Now, the point of this trip was, you know, we are based out of Cincinnati, Ohio, as I've mentioned often, and we are trying to basically visit all the counties in Ohio and also Indiana and Kentucky, which are our neighboring states. We have also been, you know, there's 88 counties in Ohio, and we've tried to knock several of them out at a time. So this particular trip was, we were heading to the area that is, if you can imagine, Columbus, Ohio is the center of the state. The area we were focusing on was to the east of that, kind of sweeping around, but not in the areas that are as grown up as Columbus, more of the rural areas of Ohio. So as we were heading through them, one of the cities we stopped in was Coshocton. And we actually stayed the night there, and we were getting ready to head out because we were looking for a particular guy that was in the Coshocton area, and we were having a hard time finding him. And I actually asked a local where I might find where this guy was buried. While I was doing this, my traveling partner, my producer, and we, Charlotte Graves, we decided, she was actually looking up information on this, and she said, "Hey, do you realize that in Tuscarawas County, which is the next county to Coshocton, that Cy Young is buried there?" I was like, "Are you kidding me? Cy Young is buried in Ohio? I'm from Ohio. I grew up here. I learned history from Ohio. I also am well aware of Cy Young. But why do I not know that he's buried in Ohio? So we proceed to look up where the information is, and he's buried in a small town called Pioli. So as we take off to this area, we come across a park which is dedicated in his honor. Well, we discussed that actually earlier in the show, the Cy Young Memorial. They were actually playing an old-time baseball game that day by coincidence while we were there. So that was a real interesting thing to have happen. So we were there and we were checking out this memorial, which is really cool. As I mentioned earlier, it is in a diamond shape and he is there. It's just a really incredible memorial while we were there. And it was just something we happened to be passing on the way to Young's grave. Now, as we leave there, you know, that town where it's located, it's more of a moderate-sized small town, and we start to pull away, and we're heading towards Pioli, and we're getting farther out in the country, farther out in the country. Man, we are really out in the sticks. We pull up to one of those classic churchyard cemeteries where there's several hundred people buried there. And there's an old pioneer cemetery across the street from it. I'm literally looking at this thinking, you know, Cy Young is buried here. How could a man that has an award, the pitching award named after him, arguably the greatest pitcher in baseball history, is buried in Pioli, Ohio. Now, I got out of the car. I started looking around for his grave. I was able to find it. It was really cool. It was a nice granite slab, newer style, but, you know, there were baseballs all over it, and there was markings, baseball tributes, things of that nature, flags, you name it. He was also a veteran, and it was a very, when we got there, it was a very nice little grave in this small little community graveyard in the middle of Pioli, Ohio. I mean, Pioli is just virtually a nothing town. There was a cow pasture next door. I was actually, to be honest with you, I was taunting the cattle, you know, mooing at them. They were mooing back. It was, you know, I was in the country. But, you know, the reason I bring this up to you and the reason why I'm telling this story today is unless you do the research and unless you check out who is buried in an area, and please don't always trust Find a Grave, because Find a Grave just doesn't count people that are important. They count big, big stars, but Find a Grave ignores important people all the time. We truly want to encourage you to go out and find the Cy Youngs where you are, because, you know, lots of people, no matter how famous they are, they want to go back home and be buried with their family. And that's what Cy Young wanted to do, be buried with his family in his hometown. And many celebrities do the same thing. Do your homework and find out who the cool people are when you go on your next necro traveling adventure.
Be sure to visit the Cemetery Podcast Facebook page at facebook.com/cemetery-podcast.
Strike two! No!
All right, I would like to thank everybody who joined me this week for the Cemetery Podcast. Again, I apologize for being late this week, for being ill. We'll be back next week with some information about the Nashville situation. Also, I'd like to thank Charlotte Graves, Senior Bull, Osric Tentacles, all the people who helped us with the baseball music and clips. I would like to thank you again. Please be sure to join me at the Facebook page at the Necro Tourist, as well as the Cemetery Podcast. Don't forget, we have albums to coincide with the broadcast, so you can look at pictures at some of the things we're talking about and describing to you. Again, thanks for joining me. This is Ken Negley for the Necro Tourist, and I'll see you in the yard.
Strike three, you're out!